You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. We've been teaching, of course, as I said, on biblical finance for a few weeks now. And, of course, if you just got in on this session, no, we don't just teach on giving all the time. We believe in giving. We believe in tithing. And we're teaching on giving tonight. We taught on tithing Sunday. But prior to that in this series, we've been teaching on working, the right attitude toward work, being diligent, not slothful, what the Bible says about budgeting, getting a grip on your finances, what the Bible says about saving, investing. Now, these are all scriptural, biblical things that we've talked about, not secular, worldly principles, although many principles that you hear from the Bible are adopted by secular, by the world, by success seminars and positive attitude seminars. And therein lies the rub, as they say. People say, well, that just sounds like what they say in the world. Yeah, you see, they got it from us. They got it from the Bible. And that's always the problem I have, you know, when I hear people, motivational speakers, or thank God for motivational speakers. Thank God for being encouraged and stirred up. I don't have a problem with that. But what I do have a problem is not attributing a lot of truth to Scripture when what they're saying is very plainly in the Scripture. Because you don't need to think that it's a man's plan that's going to get you over. It's God's plan that's going to get you over, not man's plan. And a lot of what works out there really is just, it works, what does work is because it's biblical. And you need to connect it with the Scripture. For one thing, you're going to be tested. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a trial in life. There's struggle. And you'll be quicker to give up if you think it's a man's plan than you will if you know there's a Scripture that says keep doing it. It's right.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people say budget doesn't work. That doesn't work. Well, of course it works. It's in the Bible. They budget all throughout the Bible. And the Bible addresses the savings. You know, I don't believe in saving. Well, the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Wow. So if the Bible talks about leaving an inheritance. And so there's quite a bit in the Bible about those subjects. We're teaching on giving, not tithing. Everybody say giving.
Giving.
Okay. Tithing is 10%. We've addressed that and covered that. Giving is just anything beyond that. Anything that you do that you give to people or give to the church or give extra. You know, a lot of times we have guest speakers coming or missionaries sometimes. We take extra special offerings for that and so on. That would be above tithes, as it were. And then sometimes you'll help people and give to people. That's a good thing.
Amen.
You ought to live your life that way. Don't live your life just always getting. Live your life to give. Live to give. Actually, if you'll live to give, it's amazing. It'll come back to you. Sometimes we're trying to store up and be stingy and hold on to things, because if you want anything in life, you better hold on to it. And actually, we need to be more giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. Just the opposite of what the world would say. Now, use wisdom, of course. That still means you save. That still means you pay your bills. That still means you take care of business. But you need to believe God to bless you to where you're out of debt and you're able to give and bless others. Jesus said it. In fact, in Acts 20, everybody have your Bibles?
Amen.
Jesus said this. In fact, he's quoting Jesus. What's happening here, Jesus said. Paul is quoting Jesus. In Acts 20, verse 35, he said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this. In other words, when he went to towns, he labored. He didn't go and just bum off everybody. God believes in hard work. And I think preachers ought to work until the church is able to support the preacher. I don't think the preacher ought to be a burden on a church. I've always been on offering basis in the church here. We've never taken a salary in 25 years. Not from the church. It's come from offerings. You know, whatever is given to pastor, you see that on the envelope, pastor, church, whatever's given to pastor is what we pay ourselves out of and take our house allowance, our car allowance. Everything we take is out of that account. Mo's an elder in the church. I'm telling the truth, aren't I, Mo? I want to make sure everybody understands that. And so if everything you give to church goes to church, we don't touch that. And so we've never been a hireling in that sense. That's a terrible word. I don't have a problem with salary. I think that's a good thing for churches to pay pastors well. They should. Are you with me? I've worked when the church wasn't able to support me because I have to believe for my offerings.
Amen. That's
right. Are you with me? So I'm not hired by anybody. So I'm not catering to anybody. Are you with me? I'm not thinking about that paycheck. And so I'm trusting God. In fact, my success is determined by my giving, not by your giving.
Amen.
You say, well, if we all stop giving? Well, God will just send somebody else to take care of me because I'm not going to stop giving. As long as I keep giving, He's going to take care of me. And I put my faith, my trust in Him, not in any individual. Because in 25 years, we've had people come that had money and people didn't have money. We've had people that give a lot and then leave, and sometimes they pass on and that they pass away and go to heaven. I mean, you can't get your faith in any individual. Your faith has to be in God. Are you with me? That's the same thing with your job. Your faith's not on your job. It should be in God. If that job fails, believe God for another one. Go get another one. Ask God to bless you. He'll make a way. Don't put your faith in the economy. Don't put your faith in who's in power, Democrat, Republican, or whatever. No, I mean, you know, I think we have obligation to vote our conscience, but once it's done, we have a mandate to pray for our government. And my God supplies my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so that goes over real big. I can tell you're excited about that. But here Jesus said, Paul said that Jesus said. Here I'm saying Paul said that Jesus said. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, Paul worked, that you must support the weak. I think that's interesting. He actually labored not only for his own needs, but that he might have something to give and help people with. That you might support the weak. Well, I'm just working to get my bills paid. Well, no, you ought to be working. You ought to get your bills paid, but you ought to be working to have something to give. Amen. Ephesians 4:28 says, work with your hands the thing which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians 4:28. We went over that the other night. But having said that, he goes on and says that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Now you may be thinking, well, see there, we're not supposed to be receiving anything. Well, no, he just said it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
I'd remind you, it's Jesus. In fact, turn over to Luke 6:38. Luke 6. Just to put the context in there, because, you know, the devil will take that and twist it. You know, the devil can quote scriptures. Yeah, just turn the radio on. You hear them all the time. Luke, moving right along here. What Jesus is saying is we're not out there just trying to get stuff. We ought to be giving and helping and blessing. Our heart should be pure and right toward God. We ought to have mercy and compassion on people. And we ought to, with our finances, help people and bless people and give. Now, he wasn't saying you're not going to receive. He just said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, the biggest blessing is you bless them by giving to them. Listen, I get a bigger blessing out of helping somebody than they do getting the help. And if you ever helped anybody, you know what I'm talking about. You get a bigger blessing helping and giving and that God actually used you. Man, I'm telling you, it's just something you can't describe. It's just wonderful when you're able to minister and God's able to use you and especially in your finances to help someone. And besides that, it always comes back to you.
Amen.
That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive, because if you receive all the time, you will finally stop receiving. That's like you can't harvest all the time.
That's right.
You have to plant.
Yeah.
Because if you don't plant, you don't harvest.
Right.
And if all you do is harvest, well, finally there's nothing left to harvest. Are you with me? So it's more blessed to give than to receive, because you're blessed by the giving, and the giving will also cause it to come back. I'd remind you, Jesus also said this, Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given to you. So he wasn't saying you're not going to get anything. He most emphatically said you will receive if you give. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive, because if you're always giving, it's always going to come back. If you're a giving person, you know, that's in any area. Did you know if you're always encouraging people, if you got a good attitude, you're real concerned about people and you care about people and you lift people and you want to hear their story, as it were, you know, when you're talking to them and you want to encourage them to make it. You know, people just keep coming back. You'll have more friends than you can shake a stick at. You have too many friends. I mean, everybody want to be around you. But, you know, if you're always taking in a relationship, if it's all about you in a relationship, if all you want to talk about is you, if all you want is get help from everybody, you know, it gets to where nobody wants to be around you. I hear some people say, well, you know, everybody's just so unfriendly. Well, I wonder why. You know, you got to be friendly in order to have friends.
Amen.
And you got to be merciful in order to have mercy.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the happiest people, the most joyful people are the people that are always helping others.
Right.
Their life is better. They've got the best life because they're receiving from their giving.
Amen.
They're blessed because they give. And Jesus said give, and actually in context here, He was talking about more than just money. You read this chapter, he's talking about mercy and judgment and a lot of things. He says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Man, shall men give your bosom. For with what measure you meet, the way you give, it shall be measured back to you again. Now, if you think in agricultural analogies, that's what he used a lot of. Obviously, it was an agricultural society. When he said good measure, he's talking about a seed bag. You had a good measure. It was pressed down. It was shaken together to fill in all the holes. And then it was running over. That's a pretty good bag. Are you with me? How does that come? From you giving. Don't forget the first step. First step, be a giver. Give it shall be given. Often we wait around for God to bless us, to bless others, and we ought to just go ahead and do what we can where we are, and then God will bless us as we're doing what we can. He said, well, I don't have any money. Well, you can call somebody, encourage somebody. You can bake a pie, you know. You can bake a pie if you're not a guy. I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe some guys cook. You don't want me to bake you a pie, I can tell you that. If you want to be blessed, don't eat anything I cook. Or attempt to cook. But giving starts a process. Giving, when God talks about giving, He knows our life will be better if we'll live this way. If we're always taking in a relationship or taking financially speaking and never giving, it's going to dry up. We're going to dry up. But if we'll live to give, God will always make sure we have plenty. If you'll make others your business, God will make you His business. And what I mean by that, not your business to find out what's going on so you can tell everybody. Yeah. I'm saying make others your business in helping them, encouraging them, and blessing them. Are you with me? I love that scripture. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. It didn't say confess their faults. It says confess your faults one to another. That's not generally the way it works. I mean, usually the phone rings, you go, do you hear what I heard about somebody? You know, it's never, hey, did you hear what I did today? You know, you don't get phone calls like that. But it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Amen. So, you know, take care of yourself in that respect as far as cleaning your life up. Help others. If you'll, you know, even in a marriage, if you'll help your wife be the best she can be, you'll be the greatest husband there ever was. In your marriage, if you're a wife, if you are the wife, if you'll pray and you'll do the best you can to make your husband the best he can be, you'll be the best wife anybody could ever have. But if you're always demanding from each other, we always talk about marriage is give and take. No, it's not. It's just give, give, give. It's you give yourself to each other. You live for each other. And in so doing, you become a better person. You each become better by the giving. By the praying for each other, by the lifting each other, by the trying to make each other the best you can be, you become a better person.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Good.
You can't both be in love with the same person. Okay, chew on that a while.
Write that down.
All right. Had to get that one out. Turn with me to Proverbs. This is good. Well, let's get off that. Let's get back on a giving, huh? Proverbs 19. I think that's where I want to turn. Yeah, Proverbs 19. Stay focused, y'all. Stay focused.
Amen.
Giving. Notice what it says here in the 17th verse. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Now, when he means pity on the poor, he means give, help them, bless them. They're poor. Their need is finances or food or something. Something monetary. And so he says, he that has pity on the poor, if you just shun them, and I realize we live in an age where you have a lot of charlatans, you got a lot of scam artists out there. Even as a church, we don't help everybody that calls for help. We have a lot of people that call that just come into town, they just want money, they're going to the next town. They get a list, and they just call the churches, you know. And I want to talk to them, find out what it's about first, you know. And we don't help everybody in that respect because I don't think it's responsible to do that. But sometimes it's genuine, and sometimes there are people that really do need help, and we help those. I tell you who we first help is people in our church. If someone in our church needs help, we'll do that, and you'll never hear about it. We don't ever talk about it because we don't announce things like that. Sometimes it's embarrassing, and you don't want to just go out and blow your horn or your trumpet, you know, that you have helped some poor person. We've all fallen on hard times. So when you do that kind of giving, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6, Your alms, when you do your alms, that's not arms, that's alms. That's gifts to poor. That's not all giving. That's not the offering bucket. That's not a building offering. That's gifts to poor. It says when you do your almsgiving, let not your left hand know what your right hand do. Don't be as the hypocrites that stand in the street and blow the trumpet, you know, and say, look here, we've given. Well, that's embarrassing to the person that you've helped.
Sure.
Now, he wasn't talking about normal giving, because we have several instances of people that gave in the Bible. We know what they gave. We know what the widow gave, the widow's mite. Jesus saw the rich men putting much money into the box at the back of the church. In the Old Testament, when they built the temple, they took up offerings for the building of the temple. It told us exactly what David gave. It told us what the elders of Israel gave. So, you know, different rules apply to different offerings.
Amen.
Some people get confused. You know, they'll say, oh, it's offering time. I don't like putting my name down. I don't like recording my offering. I don't think you're supposed to know what your left hand, right hand does. No, that's concerning you giving to a poor person. That's almsgiving, specifically. That's what it says, Matthew 6 chapter. See, don't misapply Scripture. If you're playing basketball, don't go out there with a bat. That's baseball. They're both ball games, but there's different rules for baseball and basketball and football. And how about those Mavericks while I'm at it? Okay. Go Mavericks. Okay. But having said that, the rules are different, although they're all ball games. Giving, there's different rules for giving. You know, whether it's a building offering, whether it's gifts to the poor, or just general offerings that we give. Now, I'm talking about general giving here. Okay, are you with me? When we talk about giving to the poor, the point I'm making here, what I'm bringing out here, is the fact that God always gives it back. He always repays you. It's not money down the drain. It's not do not pass go, do not collect $200. Kiss that money goodbye. You'll never see it again. No, first of all, don't even think that way. You should never even give with that attitude anyway. If that's the attitude, just keep the money. You ought to give because you're blessed and you know that God will take care of you and you're blessed to help others. And you know, you might have been there yourself one day at some time and you sure would have wanted somebody to help you.
Right.
And if you're able to do it, go bless them and help them.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't help, that you help everybody, people that are taking advantage of you that won't work. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat.
Yeah.
If he's able, then you'd be wrong to continue to support someone that's able to go to work and won't go out and try to find a job.
Right.
But now, if somebody's really falling on hard times, we want to help people. Hello.
Amen.
Amen. And the good news is, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And here in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given.
Amen.
God sees it. And nobody else needs to see it. Because your Father, in line with what Jesus said in Matthew 6, your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. When you give your alms, do it in secret. You're giving to the poor people now. God himself will pay you back.
Amen.
I think it's a lot of fun, really, to go out and help somebody. Not say a word to anybody about it. Not even tell anybody about it. And just watch how God blesses you.
Amen.
You know, what a blessing it is to help someone in a time like that.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. And we have people sometimes that will give in the church to someone in particular. Their nose having a hard time. And they'll say, look, I don't want them to know it's me. Just tell them somebody in church gave it to them. I want to give this money to this person. And of course, I always take that money and go buy me a pair of shoes and a suit or something with it. No. I take that money and we give it right to that person. And invariably, you know, they'll say, well, who gave it? And we'll say, well, you know what? It was just somebody in church. They didn't want to be known. They gave it to you. And I'm just going to honor that. We had somebody give a card to somebody one time. And then that person just bugged us, says, who gave us this car? And I said, I can't tell you. They told me not to tell. I can't do it. Just thank God for the blessing.
Amen.
Are you with me? I think it's so neat to be able to help someone. You know, and that's what the church is about, really. And you know, I've seen people that came in that needed help, but they got a hold of the word and they got help, but they got a hold of the word and they got on their feet and then they began to help people. Now see, that's where God really wants us to get to. Hallelujah. 28th chapter of Proverbs. Turn there if you will. Notice what it says here in Proverbs 28. Boy, if you want to get down to just finances, you ought to read Proverbs. It is just power-packed. Good information. Wisdom. Great counsel. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Now see, that's not some modern-day prosperity teaching. That's the Bible. This is what God says. See, now you begin to understand why God wants you to give. God wants us to give because He wants to bless us. We're His children. First, He wants to help the people that have that need. And He wants to use us to do it because it's just a multiplied blessing. Because God now uses us to help bless someone else, and then He turns around and blesses us for allowing Him to use us to bless others. And then we're more blessed now because of what's come back from our giving, and we're able to give more next time. And it's just a wonderful cycle of blessing. When you live this way, when you live to give and help, and you're praying, God, show me who I can help. God, bless me so I can bless others. I'm doing all I can with what I have. I'm using wisdom with your finances. We're not saying go give your light bill away and, oh, no. Get a grip on your finances. But if you obey God and you budget and you do right and you tithe and do all those things, God's going to bless you. Amen. So be aware of other needs. Be aware of people out there that you could help. That's a good thing. Amen. It may just be a little bit. That's okay. That's all right. Just do what you can. God will multiply and He'll bless it. And He'll use you. And that's what's so good, to be used by God to help others. So He said, who gives to the poor will not lack. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses.
Amen.
Old stingy person, just won't help anybody, looks out for himself. Old number one, numero uno. Just as miserable as they can be. Let me tell you something. Riches don't bring happiness.
Right. Amen.
Only God does.
Right.
Riches is a tool. If you use it right, it can be a tremendous blessing.
Amen.
But if you use it wrong, it can be a tremendous curse.
That's right.
The problem is not the riches. The problem is the handling of the riches, the handling of the money. That's what God addresses here, is how we direct it, what we do with it. And if you have a right attitude, God will bless you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Philippians. Boy, this is evident in the New Testament and on many accounts or many cases. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know how that goes. Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians. Any way I can help you find these books, I want to help you, find these books in the Bible. In Philippians, powerful book. I love a small book, but just power-packed. Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, which is over in Acts 16. Remember, he's in jail in Philippi. That's the history of this book. Acts like the hub of a lot of these epistles that Paul wrote. And so he's writing back to the Philippians, and he's commending them for giving. They had actually given to a missionary endeavor in Jerusalem that he was going to, and they had helped him. They had sent him on his way. They had given him money, and he was writing a thank you. I think that's always good. Everybody say thank you. You know, being thankful is in vogue. If somebody helps you, you ought to say thank you. You ought to send them a card, call them, do something, say thank you. It's still the right thing to do. So Paul was thanking them. And it says here in the 14th verse, 4th chapter, Philippians 4:14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. I think communicated with me, as King James says. When King James says communicate, in many cases he's talking about financially sharing or financially helping. In fact, in this verse where it says, you shared in my distress, the Amplified says, you contributed to my needs, or contributed for my needs. Everybody say contribute.
Contribute.
Okay. So he's commending them for their giving to him on his missionary endeavor. He went to help the saints at Jerusalem. They had a drought there, and he was taking an offering and receiving offerings, and they helped him. They blessed him on his endeavors. It goes on and says this, now you Philippians, 15th verse, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Isn't that interesting that he did a lot of mission work but never got any offerings? But when he got to Philippi, they blessed him.
Yeah.
And no church did it except the church at Philippi. So this was a giving church. This is a real good liberal church. They were liberal in their giving. And they were just supportive of Paul. And he was commending them for that. Now, where it says, it's interesting too, where it says, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The Amplified says, no church entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only. Isn't that an unusual way to say that? Debit and credit account. So God keeps count. He keeps count of the giving that you do in a good way, not a bad way. Because He always repays. He always blesses back. And He always blesses back more than we give. It's always more. I mean, you can't outgive God like that. No, God will always outdo you in every case. He will not be outdone, as it were. So he says, no church communicated with me or shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only, a debit and a credit account. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again for my necessity. So they didn't just give once, they gave more than once. As he went out and preached, they took care of him, blessed him. Not that I seek a gift. He said, I'm not writing this because I want more money. Because that's what a lot of people think. You know, they thought it back then. Preacher, just trying to get money. Oh, no, come on now, get beyond that. Not every preacher's trying to get money. I mean, there may be some charlatans out there, but, you know, I know some bad bankers, but we keep banking, don't we? I know some bad $20 bills. They've had some problems with counterfeit $20 bills. But you know what? I'll take them. Go ahead and give me those 20s. I mean, don't quit taking 20s because there's some counterfeits out there. Hello. And even in church, sure, there's some bad experiences, but there's some good experiences too. There's some great churches. There's some bad. There's some good preachers.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So he says here, he said, I'm not trying to seek a gift. I'm not, you know, I want you to make sure you understand that I'm bragging on you. I'm thanking you, but I'm not trying to get, oh yeah, I'm trying to get more money off me. No, I'm not trying to get more money off you. I'm thanking you for what you've done. Not that I seek a gift, the gift, 17th verse, but I seek the fruit that may abound to your account. I seek fruit that may abound to your account. Everybody say account. You know, the Bible says God's merciful to those that are merciful. So you can actually build up mercy in your account by being merciful. Isn't that right? Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, you build up in your account giving, so when the need arises or even when it doesn't arise, God just bless you anyway with it. Because you've been given, He's going to give to you. And God notices that. He sees that. He gives seed to sowers. That's what the Scripture says. And so as we're sowing and we're giving, well, I'm not worried about it. I'm just doing my part and I'm obeying God. I know God's going to take care of me. Because He said He would. I have His word on it. I don't look for anything in return from whom I'm giving it to. That's the context of that scripture, incidentally. I look to the Lord for the return, not from the person I give it to. And the Lord will repay. Sometimes you help people and they go awry, they go sour, and you think, well, I've lost all that. No, if you gave with a good heart, God sees it, He's going to bless you for what you gave. Your heart was right. God saw it. I know people gotten into churches and churches went south. They went, you know, south terminology, just, you know, went sour, went sinful, whatever. And the whole thing fell apart. And all that money they gave all those years just down the tubes. Well, now if you gave it to the Lord, God will repay.
Amen.
Amen. You can't count the blessing He has paid you back for anything you gave with a good heart.
Right.
And that's what you do. You live your whole life. You don't look to man. You don't look to what you're doing. You look to the Lord.
Amen.
Are you with me? He keeps the records. He's got the account book. And what Paul was saying, I'm excited about this. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that will abound to your account. This is good and amplified too. Which increases to your credit the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. Oh, I like that. Do you know, I don't know how much we've given. We need to sit down and just figure it out. I know that since 2000 we've given close to $1 million in missions. Since 2000. Because we gave over 100,000 every year. We gave 140 something thousand 1 year, 126,000 last year. You know what? God's blessed us too. He's blessed it. We got 45 acres of land. I'm talking about the church as a whole now. You just had to take it down to your individual life. God will bless you as you give. We as a church are a giving church. We're a very giving church. We were big on missions. We're big on helping the community, blessing the community, and we're pro-church. We put on the Hallelujah Night free every year, and that costs thousands of dollars a year to do. And yet, you know what? It's not money lost.
No, it's not.
No. It's money. We're blessing the community with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're helping.
Amen.
We're providing a safe night on a night traditionally that's really, you know, a lot of vandalism goes on, but not in our town. Our town, crime's gone down at Hallelujah Night on what they call Halloween. It's gone down. You can ask Chief Police. He said that.
Right, huh? Yeah.
We've made their job easier. God's blessed it. He's anointed it. He's blessed us. And we're out of debt here, sitting on all this land. We got a television station. We're on television channels. And we're not burdened at all. Are you kidding? We're building a new building. We're going to pay cash on it.
Yeah. Amen.
But I just think the return on the missions given that we've given. Oh, my, we're in line for a big blessing. Are you with me? And we were happy to do it. We didn't do it for that reason. We gave it because we wanted to help and bless and give. And that's been our building program is giving.
Yes.
We don't have a pledge program, fund program, pledges and vows and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But, you know, we've just always given. And every time we give, God just makes sure we have plenty. Because He keeps the books.
Amen.
Amen. And it has abounded to our account. Now, with that in mind, let's read on. 18th verse says, "Indeed, I have all that all, and I abound, and I am full." This is a preacher talking. Everybody knows preachers aren't supposed to talk that way. They're supposed to talk like we're in a crisis, and you got to have money, and we're about to go under. If you don't give, we're going to have to turn the lights out. But no, Paul didn't talk that way. And we don't talk that way here either. We really are doing fine. We have plenty of money. You say, well, why should we give? You ought to give because you want to give, because you need to give, because you're a Christian.
Amen.
Well, I'm just giving, the church won't go under. Well, it won't go under.
No.
You stop. God will send somebody else. We're not. No, come on now. You will never hear us crying about the bills and crying about the financial state. No. We're believers, not beggars.
Amen.
One crisis offering to the nation. Oh, come on, man. That's not what church is about. Here's Paul saying, I got plenty of money. I just want to tell you thank you for the money you gave.
Wow.
I abound. I'm full.
Hallelujah.
Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smell and aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next verse. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's the context of that scripture. We often quote that scripture just when we're in a pinch or in a need or whatever. But that's really, if you've given, you can quote that scripture.
That's right.
Because He was telling that to the Philippians because they had given. Now, if you're a giver, you can quote that scripture.
That's right.
And the big picture here is that they did what they could do according to their riches. They supported Paul and helped him. And it was a sweet smelling aroma. It was a sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And Paul was thankful and grateful. And God took account, and Paul wrote them to tell them, it's not gone unnoticed. God has seen it. Now you've done what you could do according to what you had. My God's going to bless you according to what He has. My God shall supply your needs. How? According to your need? No, according to His riches in glory. See, the emphasis, I think we've often got the idea that all God does is meet needs. That's all. He doesn't do anything else above and beyond that. Oh, come on. You haven't read much of the Bible if you believe that. God has blessed people in the Bible over and over. I mean, when Jesus chose to bless Peter for using his boat, his net wouldn't even hold all the fish. And when he put all the fish in the boat began to sink and had to get another boat. They never caught a drought of fish like that. And when that young man gave them, you know, a few loaves and a few fishes, he multiplied it to 12 baskets full after 5,000 people ate, plus women and children. No, God's not enough. He's too much. He's always too much. Always has been too much. And if you give your life to Him, He'll be too much for you. He'll bless you so much. He'll make you so much better. You'll never, ever be all that you can be till you give your life over to the Lord. And it's always too much. And if it's not too much, it's probably because we're holding back. Because we're not giving it all of our life or whatever. And in this case, Paul's saying, man, I'm so blessed. I'm so excited to know what y'all have done because I know what God's going to do. He's going to turn and bless y'all for doing this. In fact, you've done what you could according to your riches. Now God's going to do what He can according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now see, if I had a little, I'd help you a little. That's all I could do. And that'd be good and God would honor that. And if you have a little, you're able to help a little. And that's fine. That's wonderful. I got a point I'm making here. But if I had more, I could help you a little more. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I could do more if I had more. In fact, my ability to help is determined by what I have. Now, the more I have, the better I'm able to help.
That's right.
And he was saying, y'all help me. And I don't know if he said y'all. I think he probably was from East Texas, but because he did say reckon in many cases in the Bible. But anyway. But he's saying in East Texas vernacular here, he's saying, y'all help me according to how you could help me, and I appreciate it, and God notices it. Now God's going to help you according to how He can help you.
Amen.
And that's always more than what you do. Are you with me? God always blesses us more than what we do because He's able to. Mm-hmm. But He's waiting for us to do something so He can bless us.
Right. Amen.
Are you with me? Let me go to one more passage of Scripture. Is this helping you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and we're no way to get through here. I just challenge you, get in the Bible. There's many, many Scriptures concerning giving. And it's such a blessing to get into giving, to helping people, blessing people. See, the Bible says, and Jesus said it. Jesus said, make friends with money. Oh, that goes over real big. Jesus said it. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. And he was talking, the parable he was using there, he was talking about someone who had used wisdom in helping people, someone that was a debt collector, and he began to cancel debts. And he talked about the world being wiser with the money than with the children of the kingdom were. And he said, make friends with money. So when your money fails, your friends will take you in.
Amen.
Now, see, your money ought to be something you make friends with, not enemies with. It's a dog-eat-dog world. If you're going to have anything, you're going to have to step on as many people you had, push them out of the way, you know. Oh, come on. Now, that never works. That's not going to work. I'm not saying lay down and let people run over you. We need to be firm and aggressive as Christians in our business and so on and so forth, but we don't violate principles, God's principles. We love, we forgive, we help, we bless, we make friends with money.
Amen.
And if all you're doing is just building bigger houses and getting more cars and you're not trying to help anybody, come on, man. Nothing wrong with a big house, a nice house. There's nothing wrong with you having a nice car either. There's really nothing wrong with you having everything in the world as long as it doesn't have you.
That's right.
But there should be a point you get to where, man, you're just blessed. I just want to help somebody. I want to help somebody else get a house.
Yeah.
Jerry Savelle came through here and preached our 15-year anniversary and paid off our church building.
Amen.
I've never heard of an evangelist come in and preach for you and bless you and pay your building off. You ever heard of that? I never heard of that. I'm sitting there on the front row thinking about, oh, God, I hope we have a good offer, and I want to bless him real good.
Yeah.
And he ends his message. He said, you know, I don't do this for show, but I'm telling you, I believe the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me to pay this building off. We're going to write a check and pay off this building. And the crowd went wild, obviously, wouldn't you think?
Wow.
That was 1997. I just sat there because I was in shock. I was talking to Barry... Barry and Follett in Australia the other day, and I wasn't there. I talked to him on the phone. Okay, talked to him the other day, and Barry, you know, he's really got an accent. He's so funny. We were talking about something, a lake freezing over up north and everything, and he said, because he's in Australia, it doesn't freeze there. He says, oh, mate, I can't wrap my mind around that. So that's the way I was. I was sitting there, and, mate, I couldn't wrap my mind around that. I just couldn't. When he said that, I was in shock. I just kind of heard everybody going, hallelujah, jumping up and down. I was still sitting there.
What?
I mean, the register hadn't gone ka-ching yet. You know, it shocked me. Boy, he got a blessing out of that, though. Oh, we did, yes. But he got a blessing out of that. He got a lot of wear on that.
Wow.
I've told it over and over. Everywhere I go, I tell it when I go out and preach. About how Jerry Savelle paid our building off.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's living to give.
Right.
And God blessed him back over and over and over and over.
Amen.
Mm. Galatians 6. We'll close it out with this. Galatians 6 chapter, still concerning giving. Notice it says here in the 6th verse, Paul speaking, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now he's saying give to him. In other words, we ought to support ministry. We ought to support churches. Financially speaking, Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse. Let him who is taught in the word share in good things and all good things. Everybody say good things. See, finances can be a good thing. Money can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. Hello. So he says, let him that is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. This is a positive scripture, not a negative. We often use this concerning sin. Don't be mocked. God is not mocked. Don't mock God. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. No, he's talking about giving, and he's saying if you give, if you share, if you help, God will repay you. He won't be mocked. Well, I gave and God never helped me. I've been supporting church. He never did anything for me. That's what he's talking about. God's not going to be mocked. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, of the flesh he'll reap destruction, corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And he's talking about giving. Hello? And God won't be mocked. If you give, he's going to repay. And don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap. But, you know, I also take this scripture to mean, 10th verse, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. I think we ought to take care of our own first in the sense of our church and our people and your relatives and your world. You have responsibility to do that first and then beyond that. I mean, God forbid that I would go around the world and preach the gospel and my children go to hell because I don't live for God around them, not around, don't preach to them, don't pray for them. No, your greatest mission field is your family.
Right. Amen. Right.
And the light that shines further shines brightest at home.
Amen.
Charity starts at home.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And then from there on out. God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Amen. You will reap what you sow. Does that include money? It doesn't just include money. That's specifically what he's talking about here. He's talking about supporting the ministry. He's saying God will make sure that it comes back to you. We already read that if you give to the poor, he'll repay. We already read where Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. We already read when they supported Paul at Philippi that God was going to supply their needs according to his riches and glory. Man, I tell you what, giving is the way to live. Be a giver. Get in the river and be a giver.
Yeah.
And let God bless you. Amen.
Hallelujah.